back to the Paranormal Rabbit Hole, ladies and gentlemen. And this episode I've been waiting to talk about for a while because it deals with just an interesting concept and theory. But not just that alone, it deals with a tulpa. So we did tulpas on the last episode. So this episode we're going to be covering an event that surrounds a tulpa or bringing a tulpa about. So to kind of get through it, first of all, I want to go ahead and do the preamble of you can find us on Instagram at the Paranormal Rabbit Hole Podcast. Type that into your little typey bar. I know it's called a search bar. I know that, just so you know. No, you guys know that. But type that in and follow us there. We've got the cow getting abducted. Boop, boop, beep. And you just follow us. And sometimes I post about the show and sometimes I don't get around to it because actually doing tulpas was kind of hard because it was really not, there really wasn't a, like, I mean, you could do a tulpa, but then it would just look like a genie kind of. And some of the pictures came across looking like genie. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to wait until the Philip experiment because there actually is a picture of Philip that'll go along with that episode. So, but I could have done something, but I've also been nursing a busted finger and dealing with trying to find a suitable recording thing now that, anyways, not getting into that again. We all know the problem. Anyways, time to jump into it because I've been wanting to talk about the Philip experiment for a while now. But it was the Toronto Society of Psychical Research, in, of course, Toronto, Canada, in the 1972-1973 time range. So to kind of just go into it and just dive right in, 8 members of the Toronto Society for Psychical, it's a tough word for me to say, folks, Psychical Research in Toronto, Canada, decided to address by experiment certain questions that arise with psychokinetic phenomenon that occur during things like mediumships and sittings and seances, such as exterior phenomena, like things moving around or knocks or raps, scratches, and that kind of... And like table levitations were when furniture, I'm not saying that the furniture, like the lamp levitated, but more often than not, when it was a levitation, it was more of the table. They would feel the table kind of rise up, like their hands would move up and they're like, oh shit. And then go back down. We can get into that, how that can be debunked as fake and hoaxes at any time, but we're going to go off of the times that people have not been able to explain. Like I know there was one time, and I'm being very honest here. We even talked about it, I think, on one of our episodes, but there was a woman who was in a wheelchair who made and it may not have been our episode. I may have just been listening to another podcast and go, that's fascinating. I'm going to retain that information. And because I do one, I absorb it and go, you know, just get in there and with the mishmash, we're just going to beat into my brain with everything else in there. And you're going to get lost and muddled. But there was a woman who was in a wheelchair that was a medium and the table levitated and they were like, okay, nobody's got their hand under the table. How is she doing this? Because she's not making it levitate by lifting it with her knees because she can't use them. Not to imply, you know, I hate to be the person that says that because, you know, if anybody's like, oh, well, you know, I'm disabled, that's offensive to me. I apologize, but, well, you know that you can't move a table with your knees. Unless you, I mean, they're varying degrees, but you know, she could not. And they were like, what the? So there's that. That was a decent workaround. Anyways, it dealt with that. They wanted to kind of have a conclusion of, could these things happen psychokinetically? Could we create these things happening by just willing them to happen, by carrying out the... They were trying to prove if a seance was real by ghosts or real by creating... Well, not by ghosts. They were trying to prove if you could do it by creating a psychokinetic energy, by mass people thinking, this is what we want to happen, and it will happen because we're focusing our minds to make that thing happen because we want it to happen. We're willing it to happen. And they were trying to see if they could provide an experiment to where they put limitations on and said, here we go, buckle up, and let's see if we can't make our minds make things rap, knock, levitate, flip the lights on and off with our minds, because we're focusing on making communication with something that will do that. But it's not the something that's doing that. It's us doing that because we want that something that we think we're communicating with just us focusing super hard and not communicating with an exterior spirit. Okay, that's what that was. Everybody's going, hang on, I got to rewind that shit. You talk super fast. And I apologize, but I had a lot to kind of get in there because that was a whole thing. So, again, they're trying to prove if they could create a seance atmosphere where they hear knocks and raps and the table levitates. And they're saying that ghosts are doing it. And these people were trying to prove that it was actually the focused will of people wanting that to happen and them making that happen by focusing their will on wanting that to happen. But they had parameters that they were going for. That's what that was. That whole, and I just wrapped it up for you in layman's terms. They were trying to prove that you could do with your mind what was happening in seances, how they were communicating with ghosts and they were hearing raps and the table was lifting. They were trying to prove that you could do that with your mind and lift it with telekinesis. How about the power to move you? Boom, Tenacious D reference. Got it. Lut. Now let's get into it. So they were trying to see if they could produce in full light with them being filmed the events that a disembodied spirit or unconscious psychokinetic activity, if they could cause that themselves in full light with a camera running. They were trying to recreate the conditions of spiritual seances with one big difference. And that's no one there was a medium or had psychic or claimed to have had a mediumship or psychic powers. And they would be made to contact a fictional entity created for the purpose of these things. You know, they would create a fictional character to communicate with instead of trying to summon the dead. They were going to create a character and say, here's what we have, here's this character, here's who he is, here's what he did in life, blah, 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 blah. Instead of trying to talk to a deceased individual, they were going to try to talk to somebody they made up themselves. So the original members of this experiment were Al, who's a self-employed engineer, heating engineer, and his hobbies were scouting and photography. Lauren, an industrial engineer and creative artistic person who studied Oriental philosophy and ancient history. Andy, Lauren's wife, who shared his interest in astronomy and was artistic. She drew a picture of Philip, which we will put on Instagram. And then Bernice, who is an accountant and widely read and interested in philosophy. Dorothy, a housewife trained in bookkeeping and accounting, whose main hobby was scouting. Sydney, who was the youngest member. A sociology student taking time off to work as a salesman and travel, get around, move around the country. Sue, a chairman of the Canadian chapter of Mensa and former nurse with many interests, and she created the story of Philip. She's the one that's integral for creating his backstory, who he is, who he was, what he did in life. And then Iris Owen, who was the director of New Horizons Research Foundation, and also co-founded TSPR, or I'm sorry, no, her husband was director of Horizons Research Foundation, but she co-founded the Toronto Society for Paranormal or for Psychical Research with him. That's how this whole group came together. And her career involved nursing, social work, leadership skills in those exact fields. And she was an author of a book, Conjuring Up Philip, which talked about the events that we're about to talk about. So let's dive into now who Philip is. Now, the people who were filming and kind of watching them were also there. And that was Iris's husband, George, and a Dr. Joel Witten. They were there to kind of observe and make sure that nothing was going on that shouldn't be going on. They were there to be sure that no tomfoolery was there, but also to kind of observe the equipment and record, you know, be behind the camera and make sure things were running smoothly. And that's, you know, I like that. I like that they're like, okay, just to kind of rule anything out, or maybe they were there pulling the strings behind, you know, who knows? Nobody knows. But so again, they had Sue, who was the chairman of the Canadian chapter of Mensa and a former nurse, come up with the invention of Philip, who he was, you know, and when he died. So, she created Philip, and he kind of goes as follows. He was an aristocratic Englishman living in the time of Oliver Cromwell, the mid-1600s. He was Catholic and had supported the king and was married to a beautiful but frigid, cruel wife, Dorothea. While out riding, he caught sight of a beautiful raven-haired gypsy girl, Margot, and instantly fell in love, bringing her back to live in his gatehouse. He kept their affair secret, but Dorothea found out and accused Margot of witchcraft and husband stealing. Afraid to lose his reputation and possessions, Philip did not protest at Margot's trial, and she was burned at the stake. Stricken with remorse, Philip took to pacing the battlements in despair and finally committed suicide by throwing himself off the high wall. Well, that's what you get for not speaking up, Philip. I mean, you got to freaking do something. See something, say something, Philip. You dick. That's why you threw yourself, not that to joke about that. Suicide is nothing to joke about. Actually, folks, don't joke about that. And if you need help, call somebody. But fictional Philip's kind of an asshole. I mean, he kind of should have spoke up at Margot's trial. Said, no, hang on. I just fell in love with her, and this chick is a frigid cold bitch. And I mean, it's back in the 1600s. So they're like, you know what? He's a man. He's right. So yeah, this is fine. This is fine. We're fine with this. You know what? I get it. I get it. Sometimes you just fall in love with a gypsy girl, and that's what it is. Also, it's offensive to say gypsy now. But for this, it is, that's, I don't, they didn't replace it. So, you know, kiss my ass. So that's Philip's backstory. Now, each member of the group had memorized the story and tried to make Philip as real as they could in their minds. They visualized him. They agreed on the aspects of his appearance, his personality, and his preferences. So the things that he liked, the things that he enjoyed to wear, and what he looked like. And, you know, his, you know, was he a rough guy? Was he a dick? Was he a, I mean, he was a dick. But, and then Andy, the wife of member Lorne. So Andy was the one that shared an interest in astronomy and art. And she drew the picture. She was Lauren, who was the industrial engineer. She drew the picture of Philip, and it's a guy with kind of neck length hair, like or chin length hair, a little bit longer than that. Kind of looks like Errol Flynn with a beard and mustache. I mean, really, it kind of looks like Errol Flynn with a beard and mustache. So they all agreed upon that too. They all agreed upon that. They were like, okay, that is what he looks like. We all see that. That's him. We have to picture him being real. So the group decided to go ahead, and after seeing the drawing and after agreeing on all those things, let's go ahead and try and get him to manifest in visible form. Could we do it? So they wanted to get together weekly for a year and try to do these experiments. So they sat in a circle around a table with the drawing of Philip in the center. Or a piece of cardboard with aluminum on it on the floor instead of a table, trying to make Philip materialize. They were in full colored lights and usually candles, And they would quietly meditate and then say, okay, well, let's get into this. What did you feel? What did you experience during the meditation? You know, and they'd kind of change notes and then go back into meditating, trying again to get this person to manifest that they have created in their mind. Now, they usually increased the time of meditation as they got used to it. So they would kind of go into developing Philip as a character after these intense meditation sessions. And then they would kind of all go, okay, yeah, that me too. I feel that too. And I feel that too. So they kind of became convinced of Philip. Like, you know, he was real. He was a real person. Like I could almost feel like we were going to get there. After a year, they still had no significant result in manifesting him. Now they did other experiments, but Iris started reading papers by psychic researchers C. Brooks Smith and D.W. Hunt, K.J. Batchelor, and they talked about using seances around a table and trying to, you know, coax the spirit out and use, like, and, you know, what they do in mediumship and seances is, you know, knock three times or rap on this or do this or do this or lift the table. They thought, okay, let's try this. Let's try to get a physical result instead of trying to create a physical manifestation phenomenon. Let's try because while they, and here's the thing, while you may think that you agree, there are certain aspects of Philip that not all people may agree on. Like somebody may change their mind and go, well, I don't feel like Philip's that way. I feel like he may be this way, and not say that to the group because they're kind of like, you know what? I don't agree with the group. And so, but you can all, it can all manifest. Everyone can focus to manifest sound or movement. That's something that everybody can focus on and think, okay, this is what we want to happen. We want this. So on the third and fourth session of conducting their research and putting it into kind of a field test, they started to feel the top of the table vibrate. It started off very faint. They said, but, you know, we put microphones near and we did not hear anything, but eventually we did. We started to hear a very audible sound. And then you could see the table sliding around the room. Nobody was pushing it or tapping on it or touching it. And all could see that no living person was pushing the table. No living person was knocking on it. A few sessions later, Dorothy had said, I wonder if Philip is doing this, if he's the one doing all of this stuff, to what she was answered a loud rap. So something hit something loudly. So from then on, Philip seemed very present at the sessions. So, and some of these things, I'm not going to lie. Let me see here. Let me make double sure before I go off spouting at the mouth, if I am correct. I think there are actual videos of the Philip experiment. So I feel like there are, like a few recordings of the sessions. That have come out. I think there are some recordings of some of the sessions. You know, go check it out on YouTube. There are probably some there. I'm not sure. There's one on YouTube that I can see, but there's just a few recordings that are out there, but you can see some of these, but they have, you know, they got a lot more, from Philip with this type of session. So focusing on like answering questions with rapping, or knocking in time with a song, or sometimes it would knock like it was laughing, and it would sound to that kind of knock in a way that would sound like laughter. And, you know, use that to kind of, respond to a joke, which is kind of creepy. If you think about it, I'm trying to wrap my mind around that while telling you guys that this thing rapped rapidly to laugh at a joke. Think about that. Think about that. Wrap your mind around that. So, answered questions by one or two raps, in response to telling, if they had gotten the story to see if it would match with what they created. And of course that proved to be the case, as it would, they created this character. So of course it's going to knock in time with what they want the answers to be, which is positive. That's good. That means that they're doing what they're saying they're doing. He also would give historically inaccurate answers on like certain things that, they could trace like historical inaccuracies for that time. Like they would ask him questions about that time period and he wouldn't be able to answer. Of course not, because he's a created character. So he really doesn't know anything about that time period. Even if he's from that time period, his knowledge is limited to what he has experienced, and he's not experiencing a lot because he's not real, and somebody could be thinking, oh, well, this is this and da da da. So, they knew that they had created Philip. They started to slowly adapt and become accustomed to him and actually treat him as part of the group. They would greet him with each session, and he would hit and when he would respond under each member's hand as if to be shaking their hand, like he would knock under their hand on the table, and it's almost like a handshake. That's kind of creepy. There were other manifestations, though, like colored lights would flicker on request. Table movement could be elicited at will. They could say, hey, move it to the left, move it. And they began to kind of become varied when he would, it would tilt or rock in time to music, or slide towards a new person that entered the room, or kind of revolve in a waltz movement, or chase people. The table would chase people. And then on one occasion levitated entirely. One person put a piece of candy on the table, which tilted to a 45 degree angle without falling off. The table did, not the candy. It's like, was it on the edge? But when they tilted the table themselves in a normal way, it fell. So eventually they started to determine that this could happen when there were all members present or when there were just four members present. Some people experienced poltergeist phenomenon in their homes that they actually linked to Philip. When they took a break, like if they would take a brief break from the group, they would experience, all these things. So, they also tried to kind of prove that anybody could do this. Any person could create a tulpa. So there was another group that had created and visualized another character named Lilith, a French-Canadian girl who became a member of the French Resistance during World War II and was captured and shot as a spy. Within 5 weeks of beginning doing it this way and, focusing on movement and things like that, they began to get motions in the table and raps to which they would have Lilith answer questions about herself and where she was in time. At when she died or before she died, just questions about her time on Earth. So basically they just sat there and went, hey, anyone can do this. As a matter of fact, we're going to prove it right now. We're going to have these people right here recreate the exact same thing and create their own person, their own fictional background story, their own personality, their own traits, their own, appearance. And they're going to focus their energy on communicating. And it was successful. Anyway, so he was like, you know, Dr. Owens is like, yeah, they're so successful, anyone can do it. So, of course, this is the 1970s, so it garnered a lot of media attention. They did not claim, they went so far as to claim that this was not a ghost. They did not create a ghost. They were not creating, you know, they did not communicate with a demon or anything like that. They had created a fake person that did not exist in real life. They said this isn't a ghost. This is just your own mind. So they started kind of going into like just these things that, of course, went into mind, thought, form, tulpas, blah, 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 all that. That tied into it eventually when they started kind of going into the fact that, you know, this was a person with personality that we created. Anyone can do it. We promise that this is something that it's all thought form. Nothing. We never talk to a dead person because that's not what this was. This was an experiment to see if we could do this. And in a way, it kind of pushes that idea that, you know, humans only use a certain percentage of the brain and we're wasting it. We're wasting it, man. We can create thought form like creatures and shit like that. Let's do this. No, I mean, that's kind of a dangerous thing, but realistically, I mean, they even had, like, to go even further, they had somebody come and they were recording the raps and they had them translated into a sound chart, and it had a different quality from a normal knock. Like, it had a different acoustic quality than a normal, like, knock on a wall. The table was a whole different group. And like they invited people in from a psychology group in Cleveland, Ohio to kind of show, hey, here's one of the table things. And they said he sat on the table and got thrown off of it very violently. You know, the nature of the force generating motion, however, is yet to be determined. It didn't look like people had thrown him off. It looked like he had just gotten thrown off. But it's funny. I mean, these people created Philip and then Lilith. And it's this non-existent character that they focused on and believed in. And couldn't get a physical manifestation, but when they, because of course everybody has a different thought of what somebody is character wise and personality wise and physical wise, like physical body wise, they may all have a different detail to that person. And that's why they can't create a physical manifestation. That's why it would be impossible for your mind to create a physical manifestation with multiple people, because you all will have one thing off that you all don't agree on the body, personality, or character, or blah, blah, blah. But you can all agree on one thing, a sound or a movement or levitation or things like that. Your minds can all go, we want this table to move. We want this table to move, and whoop, and the table will move. You can do that. So, you know, therein lies the realism of this experiment, trying to prove that your minds can do these things, that the seances weren't communicating with dead people, but they were using their brains to create these with these parameters and these stories to help create a character that they could focus their will into moving objects and making sounds. And that is well within the realm of possibility. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's the Philip experiment. So there you go. Go ahead and research further though. I want you to, because this is such it's a spectacular story. It's amazing. But, I love you guys. Scroll down to the bottom, hit that 5-star button. It helps us get listeners and move us up the charts. And that's all that they care about. But other than that, guys, that's it for the show. I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for being listeners. And of course, thank you for going down this paranormal rabbit hole with me. Have a good night.